Did you catch it when Pastor Daniel was reading about how radically different the punchlines were in the scriptures for today? On the one hand, he read that St. Paul writes that all scripture is God-breathed. And then he followed that up by reading from the Psalm 137 that says, "Happy are those who take Babylonian children and beat them to death on the rocks." Do you sense a disconnect there? Do you sense that the Bible's going in two different directions about God? Well, perhaps it is. And as I continue working through this What Matters Most preaching series, I want us to take a look today at how we view and use the Bible. I want to encourage you to take the Bible seriously. Back at one of my previous churches, I was teaching a course that used a United Methodist curriculum called Beginnings. It's a wonderful series of resources that is helpful primarily to people, whether they grew up in the church or not, on considering the basic key elements of the Christian faith. And in that series, this one Sunday, I was teaching the class on the Bible section. And I thought I had done a wonderful job. I had really engaged the people who were there, and we had grown in our understanding about the Bible. When a woman came to me following the service, or the program, and she said to me, "I can't believe it." I said, "Joe, what is it that you can't believe?" She says, "That my own pastor doesn't believe in the Bible." Well, maybe I didn't communicate quite as clearly as I thought I had. And we entered into a conversation about this. "Well, what do you mean by that?" And as we got into that conversation, it was clear that what she was telling me was that the only proper way to look at and understand the Bible is if you take a very literalist view of the Bible. And I suggested to her then that that wasn't necessarily the only way to look at and understand the Bible, and she responded by saying to me, "Jim, if I can't believe everything that's in the Bible, then I shouldn't believe anything that's in the Bible." And she set up for herself and for me this all or nothing approach to the Bible, a damaging and totally unnecessary understanding of God's Word. This is one of the critical questions of life today, because much of what's going on in the church and much of what's going on out in the world depends very much on how you view the Bible. How you understand the Bible has a huge impact on how you understand the Christian faith, how you experience Jesus Christ, and what are the things that you emphasize as you're living your Christian life. So what I want to do this morning is take a look at how we understand the Bible and to suggest a particular way of doing so. You know, there's three basic ways of looking at the Bible. Perhaps the first one that I might want to identify is an opinion that says that the Bible is a wonderful human book. And that if it's inspired, it's inspired in the same way that Shakespeare is inspired. It's beautiful and it's wonderful and it's good, but there's nothing God-breathed about it. Now, I don't know who you might hear that from, but I know in my role as a pastor, who I hear that from is any number of younger people, 30-somethings particularly, who will say something like, yeah, it's a great book, and it has great teachings in it, but it's not God-breathed. And of course, they always add on to that their opinion about Jesus. And what they say is, well, I don't know about all that stuff the church teaches, but it seems to me that Jesus was a great, good person who got killed for his troubles by the government. They have a very low understanding of Jesus and a modest understanding of the teachings that are in the Bible. And yet, that's not what we understand, is it? A few moments ago when Daniel finished reading the scriptures, do you remember the words he said? These are the words of God for the people of God. And you responded and said, thanks be to God. We have a different understanding of it. This is the word of God. But that gets us into difficult territory because the two remaining ways of looking at the Bible are both based on that, the Word of God, but they're radically different. My friend Jo, her understanding of the Bible is that everything in between these covers is literally and factually true. It is God written. And if you want to know who believes like that, maybe you do, maybe you don't, but if there's others that you know, or maybe you don't know, all we have to do is go next door. Are those faithful Christians over at Home Church will tell you exactly that if you ask. But one of the interesting things about that approach is that for 1900 years, it was not part of the Christian faith and the Christian understanding of either Jesus or God or the Bible. It wasn't until the early 1900s when advancement both in science and in biblical scholarship threatened some more conservative Christian leaders, and they began to develop the fundamentals of the faith. And what they did was they said that there can be no room for error in the Bible. There can be no questions asked. Science or scholarship cannot question what is in the Bible. And if you saw the news reports last week where one of our congressmen here in the United States who sits on the Science and Technology Committee in Congress was basically saying, forget science and technology. This is the primary source book for how things work and how things happen. And so this movement said that the Bible is inerrant, without error, and it's infallible. Unfortunately, if that's true, then it causes some spiritual problems. One pastor made a list for his congregation, and here's what he said. If you accept that view of the Bible, you have to then accept that the earth is flat, creation took place 6,000 years ago, the world was created in 6 24-hour days, women are the property of men, Slavery is approved by God, and so is polygamy. In order to win a bet with the devil, God lets Satan kill all 10 of Job's children. You have to believe that God throws raging, jealous, violent fits, killing thousands of people in the process. That eating shellfish is an abomination to the Lord. Wearing blended garments like cotton and polyester is sinful. Menstruating women and handicapped men are not allowed in public worship. God's preferred system of government is the monarchy. All governments, even oppressive ones, are to be obeyed and followed. God approves of genocide. Women are meant to be silent in church and wear veils while they're at it. People who commit adultery are meant to be stoned to death. The penalty for working on the Sabbath is execution. And sassy teenagers are meant to be executed. Parents of teenagers. And most of those uncomfortable realities you will find in the Old Testament. But there's also inconsistencies in the New Testament. Just one that I'll mention is that we all know how Judas died, don't we? How'd he die? He hung himself, right? Well, that's certainly what Matthew tells us. He was so distraught over what he'd done, he went out and hung himself. However, that's not what the Acts of the Apostles say. In the book of Acts, it tells us that Judas fell down in a field and died from massive internal rupturing of his organs. Now, the reason for that inconsistency is very simple. Like many of much of the information in the Bible, different parts of the church had different versions of the story. And clearly the writer of Matthew had heard the story about Judas hanging himself, and the writer of the book of Acts had heard the one about Judas dying in a field, and they both included it there. There are problems with this inerrant version of the Bible. What bothers me the most about it, though, is that simply that it's detrimental, I think, to authentic faith, and it drives thinking people away from the church. Well, what do I suggest on this? It's this. That we need to remember that the Bible never claims to be inerrant. It never claims to be literally true. But it does claim to be inspired. And it leads to a much more promising and mature view of faith. We believe that the Bible is inspired by God. And it is the key source of spiritual truth and the key witness to Jesus Christ. But we also recognize that it is a human document because for much of the Bible it carries the worldview of a pre-scientific time. Let me sharpen what I mean by that. I believe that Christians do not have to, nor should they, literally interpret the Bible. But at the same time, I believe the Bible is true. There are great truths on every page. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Let's just take Genesis. I am absolutely convinced of the great truths taught there. That God created the world, humans have a special connection to God, sin is real, and God loves God's creation. But while I appreciate and believe in those teachings, I don't have to accept, nor do you, that the earth is flat, it was only made 6,000 years ago, and that serpents talk to women. I love the Bible. I believe that the Bible is God-breathed. And Martin Thalen, who's a pastor in Tennessee, I've quoted him here before, he wrote this about his own understandings of the Bible. I couldn't do any better, so let me share his words with you. I love the Bible. My life has been transformed by the message of the Bible. I believe the Bible is true and trustworthy and reliable. I affirm the great truths of the Bible. I believe that God created the world. I believe God called Abraham and Sarah to give birth to a nation through whom God blessed the world. I believe the Ten Commandments and the prophets' demand for justice. I believe the great commandment, the great commission, and the golden rule. And most importantly, I believe, as the Bible teaches, in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. However, like most Christians throughout most of Christian history, I do not believe that everything in the Bible has to be understood literally. We worship God. The Bible is not God, but rather it is a powerful message that points to God. And so this morning, I encourage you to always take the Bible seriously, but free yourself up for a mature and developing faith by not always taking it absolutely literally. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank that you that it's for us. We ask that our reading of it and our understanding of it will bless how we live as your disciples. Help us to be mature readers of the Bible, and help us to be powerful witnesses to your good news. Amen.